You are now listening to True Warrior Football Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I am your host, Corey Kidd Smith, and you are listening to True Warrior Football. And really, this is a great time to be a Warrior. Anytime's a great time to be a Warrior, but right now especially, it's a great time to be a Warrior. Our boys, this past Friday, took care of business, and they took care of business in the only way we ever want to take care of business at Warren Central, in a dominating fashion against our opponent. Dominate often, dominate early. Take care of business. That way, there's no doubt that the result was in question. And that is exactly what we did. We came out just, it really was just, the game itself was something we just got after. And we've been getting after Lawrence North for the last 12, 13 years, ever since they beat us on my senior night, which was at the time one of the toughest victories I had to, or toughest defeats I ever had to deal with, because at that time we were one of the top ranked teams in the nation, not just state, but the nation. I think we went from being number three team in the nation to being the number three team in the state. So think about that for a moment, all right? One loss. And it wasn't until we faced them in a sectional championship where we got that payback and beat them 55-3. That right there propelled us, and we went on to cruise the state. But every game since that 2005 matchup, go through the record books. You can go and see. Once again, I like bring facts to the show. All right. Just about every single game has been won by two touchdowns or more, oftentimes more than three touchdowns. Every single one. So I'm proud to see those boys continuing that legacy of domination against that team from Lawrence North. Always want to see that. Each and every game, I want to see them come out and be dominant against those guys out there. They took something from me I never would have imagined I would have lost. That was a weird game, and it hurts me so much to know that my guys, we as a unit, as a team, did not finish and win that game. But when it mattered most, we brought the title home to the East Side, continued the winning streak that had been laid forth before us. So I can accept that. I can accept that. The final score from Friday night's game was 72-25. Second time we scored 70 points this season. And really, the offense just was on a roll. They really were. What more can I really say? Our three leaders on offense, three guys that all have possibilities of being Mr. Football, not for just their positions, but overall Mr. Football winners. Jaden George had another wonderful evening, threw for over 400 yards, five passing touchdowns, okay? Ramir Elliott had another outstanding game, over 170 yards rushing, four touchdowns. He did his thing like he always. But the main star, and once again, it just amazes me sometimes the stuff that he does. It's yawn-worthy, really, because when I hear his stats, I'm like, okay, I mean, nothing he does really surprises me, but what he does surprises me sometimes, if that makes sense to you, okay? David Bell, folks. I have not had him on the show yet, and I'm not exactly sure when I will have him on. I'm a little superstitious, so I haven't had him on yet, and he's been playing well. So maybe I'll just keep it that way and keep bringing on other great football players that we have on the team now and let them get the shine before I have a full-fledged sit-down with David. But David, this past week, I guess Lawrence North challenged him to do well, And he took up that challenge very, very well. 12 receptions, 284 yards, 4 receiving touchdowns. But that's not all, folks. That's not all. He had a 53-yard passing touchdown to Montrezl Stanley. So for those that are doing the math here, he had over 330 total yards by himself in 5 touchdowns. That is absolutely incredible. A career night for a guy that's already had several incredible games in the black and gold already in his career. And he's just going to do better. And really, the team has just been playing phenomenal. The defense played well. I'm going to bring on an offense guy and a defense guy later to talk about the team and this week's game. But really, folks, this week, this is what we all come for. You want to be a part of Warren Central football. You want to be a part of titles. You want to be a part of championships. The first championship you try to go out there and win is the Mick title. And a lot of teams have come through the program and won the Mick title. And what we do here at Warren Central, more than any other team that's come through the program, when we want to win titles, we win them outright. We win them outright, full-fledged on outright. We have 8, count it, 8 Mick titles. 7 of them have been won outright. Now I looked up and I was like, well, how many of these other schools have won Mick titles? Okay. And since the Mick started in 1996, only, including Warren, only 4 schools have won the Mick. Now that's the usual suspects of us, Ben Davis, Carmel, Center Grove. So I looked, I said, okay, well, let's see who's won the most. Ben Davis, unfortunately, they've won the most. They won the first, they won the first 5 titles. Really, no, excuse me. They won the first 6 Mick titles from 96 to 2001. Then from that time, there were some shared ones in there, but they have a total of 10 Mick championships. All right. Of those 10, 3 of them were shared. So that means they have 7 outright titles just like we do. Carmel, they have 5 titles, Mick titles. All but 2 of those Mick titles were shared. Center Grove, they have 6. And really, the only one that they don't share a conference title with is their undefeated season in 2015. That's it. So we are on the precipice of greatness, ladies and gentlemen. A win this week against Carmel will give us a 9th Mick title. Most importantly, an 8th outright Mick championship. That's what we come here for, folks. That is what we come here for, to win titles. All right. Now, lately, since, what was it, 2005, really, is when you can look back at the history between Warren and Carmel and look and see, you know, where these two teams really match up and really the tide starts to turn. Once Carmel got new head coach Mo Moriarty, who used to be at Bloomington, I think it was South, because he used to be the head coach of NFL quarterback Rex Grossman down in Bloomington South. When he got the Carmel job in 2005, that team wasn't exactly great. We faced them down at the old RCA Dome, blew them out. Very start, blew them out. I think we got up like 28-0 on them in the first half, first quarter maybe. Blew them out, took care of business. 42-7 was the final score. The next year, that's when Carmel really started to see the great teams that they have now. They came to Warren, and really in a matchup almost similar, they felt like they had a great offense and defense. They were led by a quarterback that would eventually be Mr. Football as a senior, but he was a sophomore this year in 2006. And that game right there, the 2006 team, let it be known that they were the big dogs of the state. Shut them out, 28-0. I talked about the goal line stand with Coach Tutsi a couple weeks ago, one of the best series of defensive plays in school history. Shut them out on our home, sealed the MIC championship right then and there. But from there, we have more battles. We had a controversial game at their place in 2007, a game that really, if it weren't for a controversial play on, a fumble that we recovered and got out of bounds, they said that we didn't recover. Video evidence shows otherwise, but unfortunately, there's no video review in high school football in Indiana just yet. Give it a few years. Hopefully, that becomes a thing. But we ended up losing that game in 2007, 2008. We fought a tough one, but ended up losing that one as well here. 2009 is where the real good battles between Warren and Carmel happens. 2009, we go up there. The offense did not have a great game. They'll tell you themselves. The offense turned the ball over, I believe it was 6 times. And really going back to 2008, the offense had turned the ball over in the 2 games against Carmel. I think it was like 11 times. And the defense in 2009 that year was as spectacular. Spectacular. Led by guys like Corey Terrell and Brandon Allman, Chris Harley, Elijah Jones. Those guys right there had a lot of fight in that first game. We ended up scoring a defensive touchdown, but Carmel was able to get in position to kick a game-winning field goal. So they won that matchup. That victory actually will end up being the victory that they needed to win the MIC. Because we could have shared the MIC right there with them, I believe. Or no, we could have won it outright. Excuse me. We could have won it outright, but we ended up not getting that, and they got it instead of us. So in 2009, that was it. So with that, we come down to the state championship game in 2009. And man, oh man. Whew. People want to talk about great games before. They want to say, oh, well, New Pal had the greatest state championship game I've ever seen. All the scoring, all the points. You know what? That game was great. But this 2009 state championship game, you ask anybody that was there, that was the show. Derek Hart leading an offense all the way down the field. 8 for 8 on fourth downs. Made what I still believe to this day is the most critical play, influential play in school history. A pass to Maurice McGee. And I laugh about it because the play wasn't even designed to go his way. But the play broke down and Derek was able to get the ball off in Mo's direction. And Mo reaches up and grabs the ball. But a defender from Carmel pushes him out of bounds. But in the process, he's also pass interference. But the referee calls touchdown. And in Indiana high school football, you can be pushed out of the end zone and still be called for a touchdown. So boom, bam, touchdown. We end up tying the game at 28-28 after a 2-point conversion to I believe it was Juwan Keys, number 2. And ended up winning that game in double overtime, 42-36. One of the greatest victories as a coach I was ever a part of. One of the great teams I've ever been a part of was that 2019. 2010, we go down to Lucas Oil again to face them in the regular season. See, this was a part of a few years where we faced them in the regular season down in Lucas Oil. They wouldn't come to the east side. For whatever reason, they wouldn't come to the east side. But 2010 was special because former head coach Kevin Wright had taken over for Coach Moriarty after he left. And once again, both teams come into the game undefeated in the conference. Winner takes the mick. He was like, no. We got this, Coach Wright. We got this. Ended up going up 38-20 late in the game on a great trick play pass from running back Anthony Davis to wide receiver Shaquille Tinsley. Clarence Hayes was the quarterback of that team. Great offense, great defense. They wanted to trick us a lot of times, but we shut that down real quick. So we win that game. Ended up winning the game 38-28, excuse me. They scored late, but it didn't matter. The game was already. We were already getting ready to celebrate in the locker room. 2011. If you thought the 2009-2010 matchups were really good, the 2011 one, man, some battles. Some hard-fought battles. 2011, we played in them downtown once again. This time, it comes down to a sophomore kicker named Max Hernandez to kick a game-winning field goal for us to win the game, win the mick, and continue to move on with our undefeated season at the time. Now, we would go and face them in the playoffs, and we didn't have the same success like we wanted to. We ended up losing 34-30. I talked about that game last week with Josh Posley. But as you see, folks, right there, three straight years, battles with these guys. We have another 2 years of great battles in the regular season and in the playoffs with those guys. See, there's so much history between our two schools. I don't know why it has come down to us and them so many times, but lately it just has been. It just has been. Now you may be thinking, well, with them being in the North, why don't we just call them our real rivals, Corey? Why aren't they more of our rivals? Obviously, we faced them in three state championship games. We've had these great playoff victories against them. They got one against us. Why aren't they more of our rivals? Because it just isn't the same, folks. There are rivals, but there are other rivals. See, I made this analogy a couple years ago, all right? Like I said, I'm a big college football fan. If we are Michigan, okay, that team on the west side, Ben Davis, they're Ohio State. And Carmel, you can take your pick. They're either Michigan State or Notre Dame. Take your pick. But that's what they are. See, Michigan has a lot of rivalries. Ohio State's their main rival. Notre Dame, Michigan State are their other rivals. Yes, they want to win all those games, but the main one they want to win each and every year that they go out on the field at the end of the season, they want to win the game against Ohio State. That's the one that matters the most. So you can make the analogy Carmel is our Notre Dame, which is probably more practical because of their being so great in all different sports and everything like that. It is what it is. It does not matter to me. It does not matter to me. What does matter, though, is us getting that victory on Friday night. That's what matters. Because this right here sets us up for the playoffs. We have three, including this game, three guaranteed games left. Matter of fact, let me say this. I was looking through the Twitter feeds, looking through all the games that we've had so far, looking at stats, and it shocks me, really. I know the offense has been doing their thing. Special teams has been playing really well. Got a touchdown a couple weeks ago. I think it was the gentleman's name was Elijah Price. Elijah, congratulations. Keep doing well out there. One thing that really surprised me, though, and I talked about how our defense as a program, I consider the best defense of all time in the state of Indiana. One thing we have not done this year, though, defense. Come on, defense. I need y'all to score. I know you haven't needed to because the offense has been covering their half. But I want a touchdown, boys. I mean, y'all ain't scared to get in the end zone, right? Come on now. Get that ball, scoop and score, take it away from them if you have to. Let's go. Let Friday night be the night. Let Friday night at home be the night that we get our first defensive touchdown, our first defensive score, period. Get a safety, block a punt, and recover it in the end zone. Figure it out. Make it happen. Let's go, boys. I'm challenging you. Defense is true to my heart. I can't think of the last time we've gone this long into a season and didn't score on defense. Come on now, boys. We're better than this. Now, with all that being said, folks, this is going to be a great show this week. A great show. I got a great offensive guy coming on, new to the program. I got a great defensive leader right here who has, you know, exhibited great things this far in the season. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for another great interview for True Warrior Football.
This is Dean Tate, Warrior Legend, and you're listening to the True Warrior Football.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and I have two special guests with me for today's episode, two current football players. Players, introduce yourselves here.
I'm Montrez Stanley.
All right.
Cavie Minor.
Cavie Minor and Montrez Stanley, offensive defense leaders right here. Now, let me start off with you, Montrez. This is a huge game for us this week. Coming in, we're facing Carmel. You are new to the program. What school did you come from again?
Lawrence North.
Lawrence North, okay. How did you feel about the program and everything when you came over here? What were your expectations?
Well, I expected it to be like any other high school, but it wasn't. It was different. Like the way y'all handled things, grades, mm-hmm. The workouts was different. Everything was just different.
It like really opened up your eyes to the possibilities of what a really great football program can offer you?
Yeah.
Yeah, see it. I've had a lot of people tell me that before that came over, either they transferred when like there were before they got to high school or the middle high school. A lot of people say this is completely different from what they've normally have been associated with. So, Cavie, my man, right here. What's going on, man? You good?
Yeah, I'm straight.
You ready, man?
Yes, sir.
Man, you know, it's a huge week now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge week. What do you know about this rivalry that we have right here?
I mean, I know anything can go any way. It ain't always what you think.
That's very, very true. You know, I talked about previous seasons and games that we've had against Carmel. We've had some great battles, man, some ups and downs. So yeah. I know those guys over there, they're well-coached, and they're going to bring it, man. All they're right. Definitely going to bring it. Now, Montrez, last year when you were playing LN, what did you feel like the battle was going to be like for you guys?
Against Carmel?
Yeah, against Carmel.
Hard.
Hard.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you could have did better in that game when you guys faced them afterwards?
No, I gave them my all.
You gave your all? That's what I like to hear. Now you especially lately, you've been, what was it, three straight games with big touchdowns?
Yeah.
Now, which one of those is your favorite? I know the touchdown catch from David was pretty good, all right. But that one against Ben Davis, man, that was the one I liked.
I like the one against with David.
With David,
yeah.
All right. Did you expect that the pass to be like on the money, like it was, like that?
Yeah, he threw it like that all week.
Really? All right.
I didn't know he had an arm like that.
Well, yeah, I knew he was coming in before he was a freshman in eighth grade. He was a star like quarterback. I can't forget which middle school he played for, but I remember people was talking about. This dude, David Bell, man, he's going to be a great quarterback for the team. I was like, ooh. Then when I saw him switch to wide receiver, I was like, is that the right thing to do? Yes. It's most definitely the right thing to do. So, yeah, I knew he had that on. I'm just surprised we've never really had him do that before until now. Like, when I was following the game and I saw David Bell pass for a touchdown, I was like, is that right? Did somebody mistake and put, like, J.D. George pass to David Bell for a touchdown? I was like, no, David Bell passed 53 yards to Montrez Stanley for a touchdown. Now, you caught it, and then you had to, like, shake a dude off you at the last couple yards to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you had to do. Okay, okay. Now, Cavi, my man here.
Yeah.
Did you know, first of all, we got the blood belt, man. What you think about that?
I like that. It's real nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice. I have so many people come back and tell me, man, they want that thing so bad. I wish they would have had that. But did you know, of all the turnovers, of all the stops we've gotten this year, you know the defense hasn't had a defensive touchdown?
Yeah, I did know that. I noticed that quick, actually.
Yeah, we got to change that this week, man. I'm challenging the defense this week, man. We got to get in that end zone, dog. You ain't afraid to get into the end zone, are you?
Nah, I ain't afraid of that.
You sure, man?
Yeah, 100%.
100%?
Yes, sir.
Well, come on, man. Bring it to me, man.
I mean, we was close on some of them.
Well, hey, close only counts in horseshoes and grenades, baby.
All right.
Come on now, man. We need to get in there.
Right, right.
I mean, Montrez over here, he like, man, you plan on being in the end zone Friday night, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Exactly, man. Come on now. Okay, I mean, he plans on bringing that one home, bring it home to me, man. I'm going to be in the end zone. I want that ball, man. I want that ball. I want that dub, but I want that ball too, man. Come on now.
We're going to get that.
We're going to get that. Now, coming into this season, what were some of the things that you guys worked on to improve your game and to help the team? Really, what were some of the things that you guys want to help improve in yourselves and your game?
First thing is communication. That's where it started.
Definitely got to have communication on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
Definitely got to have communication.
And trusting the next man. Mm-hmm. God. Believe that they can do what they got to do so we can do what we got to do.
Have you been helping a lot with the people that are under you with making sure they know their plays and stuff like that, make sure they're ready just in case they got to step up?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But sometimes things don't go as planned.
Yeah, that's very true with football. But you definitely got to help your teammates stay on top of their game, man. That's how we work and make sure we stay, you know, at the top.
All right.
Yeah. What about you, Montrez? Were you coming in? It was like, wanted to make sure your routes was okay because this was a new playbook for you, right?
Yeah, yeah, different playbook.
Whole different playbook. What kind of offense they run over there with you guys?
Wing T.
Wing T. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a whole lot different from what you're definitely used to. I'm trying to think here. What did you catch a lot of passes last year? Did they pass the ball a lot, or was it just
barely
passed the ball? Okay, so that's just like how we used to do when I was here. See. Back then, yeah, you probably would have been like a tackle or something like that, or a tight end, like really not really had the ball, but you definitely would have been like the guy that we counted on to help block for our guys running the ball. Like that's what things were like back then. Because now, when I think about it, I was like, man, if David Bell or something like that was coming up in the program back then, he would have been like a slot back or something like that, or he would have been playing DB the whole time. We wouldn't have used him at a wide receiver desk. It would have been a waste because we never would have gotten a ball like that, which is just crazy to think about right now. Like, the man is just amazing. But, oh, man, I'm excited for this game. I got a lot of people coming. I got a lot of people texting me. He's like, man, let's go. It's a big championship. It's like the fourth time in, like, the last 10 years where the MIC has come down to our two schools, which is just crazy. Like, there was a couple of times where Cromwell and us were coming into this game undefeated. Either undefeated in conference or undefeated overall. And, like, this is the best two teams for the last, like, 10 years facing off against each other like this. And, like, when they come to the East Side, they don't like that. They don't like being in this environment. They don't like just being on that field, man. They scared of us down here, man. So let's put that fear back into their hearts, man. Let's beat it out of them. Let's get to them from the very first whistle to the very end, man. You down with that?
Definitely.
You down with that, Montrez?
For sure.
My man. All right, I appreciate you gentlemen being here with me. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, I have Montrez Stanley, star wide receiver for the offense, and I had defensive leader Cavi Minor. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep. Yes, sir.
True Warrior Football Podcast is sponsored by
Booyah Aid, made painstakingly by us. the Warriors. It will make you a winner. You'll be beating Ben Davis in no time. You might even win a state championship or two. It's good, my brothers. Drink it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, for this week's episode of True Warrior Football Podcast, I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? We got Carmel, a great opponent, opponent we've been going hard and heavy against for like the last decade exclusively. It seems like so many times the MIC championship has come down to our two schools. I thought to myself, man, who great can I get on this show to really talk about the legacy, the great teams that we've had that went against Carmel, the ups and downs. And I thought to myself, you know, this person right here would be absolutely perfect. You know, when you think about guys that have been in the battles with this, with Carmel over the years, he's definitely one of them. And he was in a key member in six consecutive great battles against Carmel from 2011 when he was a sophomore all the way up to his last game, winning a state championship against Carmel in 2013. Ladies and gentlemen, let me present to you all MIC, all state linebacker or defensive lineman, excuse me, one of the great talents of our defense of the past 20 years, Max Hernandez. Max, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today, kid?
Max, you know, anytime I could be in your presence and be around you, I always feel good. It was great seeing you a couple weeks ago at the Ben Davis game. Glad to see you were able to bring your family out there. You know, like I said, anytime I could be around great players like yourself is always going to bring a smile to my heart. You know, I definitely enjoy being around you. Now, like I said, this week it's Carmel. You know how we feel about those guys up north.
Yeah, man. Excuse my language. Those guys, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like Carmel, man. And now I'm over here cheesing, just thinking about all the memories of Carmel. From my biggest memory in my mind outside of the state game is just that 39-yard field goal kick I kicked from the left hash in Lucasoil Stadium my sophomore year.
And for those that don't know, Max was – he started as a sophomore kicker in the 2011 first game against Carmel that we faced off against them at downtown Lucasoil. At that time, both teams were undefeated, and basically that was whoever won that game was going to be the winners of the MIC that year.
Yeah, and that was a big team, and that's when we had, Caleb Humphrey, all those guys, Jay Shine, we had a squad, Kyle Fonts, Kevin Davis.
The offense had some great guys. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with Dwayne Trotter Brown, who was the offensive lineman on that team, and you know, I just thought back to the great offensive lineman that we had that year. It was Brian Gegner, it was Antonio Freeman, aka Free Daddy. You had Justin Sparks, Deshaun Bond, Devontae Thomas. We had a lot of great people on that offense, and that team was a really, really special team. And it came down to it. We had a big lead. I think it was 17, 18-point lead to start the game. And then, you know, I don't want to say blew it, but, it's Carmel. They're a tough team.
They creeped back on us.
They got the lead. And it came down to you, like I said, as a sophomore, getting ready to make what was, at that point, one of the hugest plays of your career. Tell me about that game, about that moment. What were you thinking?
That moment, I just remember – Coach Tutsi, get your shoe on, you know, get ready. So I'm like, okay, like, you know, Coach Wilman's there helping me practice, warm up, you know. It's 4 seconds left in the game when they call the timeout, and they just look at me. You know, my heart drops. I'm a sophomore, you know, I'm dressing varsity. Just as a kicker, you know, I'm not really getting any reps at D-line yet. But, you know, I was just nervous. Went through my routine. I remember, like, yesterday, went out there, took a deep breath, and it was so loud in there, but so quiet for me. It was very quiet, and I was just focused. I remember I kicked it, and went in, and I just remember Marcus Scaife coming up to me and just damn near tackling me to the ground.
Marcus Scaife was definitely an animated character.
And he came up, he lifted me up, held me all around the field, man. That was just, it was a great moment in my life. Probably the most memorable, you know, games outside of, you know, the Center Grove fourth and goal stand for the semi-state in 2014. But, you know, it's Karma Week, so we'll get to Center Grove.
You know what? I had to bring you back on when I talked fully about the 2013 teams. There were a lot of great great games and moments
for
that
one. Xavier.
Exactly. Now, let's see. Okay, so that's 2011. We win that game, the first game. We end up stumbling in the sectional championship against them.
Now, yes, with Coach Hart.
Yes,
right.
Coach Hart, that was his last game as the head coach of Warren. Then let's move on to your junior year. Your junior year, okay, you were more of a critical player. You played more of a pivotal role on the defense. What were your thoughts going into your junior season that year?
My junior season, I had a very talented man in front of me, Anthony Wimbush. He's playing for the Atlanta Falcons right now, so big ups to him. You know, congrats, Wimbush. Very proud to see you make it that far and everybody else from that I played with make it into the league. But yeah, man, that was a pretty big game. And lost track.
No, it's good. I think we really we played them again downtown at Lucas Oil, and that game would end up going into overtime. And the first game that is
no that wasn't at Lucas Oil
first game was at Lucas Oil, then we played them in the sectionals. That game was at Carmel. Let's talk about that game.
I think that game we went into like three or four overtimes.
Yes,
and
yes.
I had to kick four at least 30-yard or more field goals
overtime. That there was a kick that you had to do. Like, did you ever feel like nervous or anything like that when you were out there? Because you kicked in high pressure situation in moments.
See, I just feel like I performed the best under those times. It's like when there was a field goal opportunity and we kind of needed it, but we were ahead. You know, it's just kind of points on the board. I feel like I didn't really produce as much as in those high intense situations where we needed that point, we're gone. So I feel like in that moment I was nervous, I was this, I was that, but I just was able to remain focused and take that deep breath before I took my three steps back and two steps over and then hike the ball, kick it through the uprights, man. And I don't know if you guys remember my kicks, but I used to make them sail. I didn't even really play much defense on varsity except senior year just because of how talented, our talent was.
I think you're being a little modest. You were a great talent as a junior for that defense. That defense, I've talked about them a couple weeks ago, is one of my all-time favorite defenses just because of that group of players as a whole never gave up. You had a sophomore, McKelty Williams, that was really good. You and junior linebacker Cottrell Moss were excellent players. Giorgio Blay was an excellent player. Of course, we just talked about Wimbush. He was an excellent player.
Was Sheldon still on the team at that time?
No, Sheldon had already left before. Yeah, so we had who else was on that team? Jamal Bridges was a great player. You had Trey Moore. You also had I can't believe I can't think of his name right now. Tim Kimbrough.
How can
I forget about Timmy?
Like Big Timmy,
We had a lot of great talent on that year.
There was 14 D1 scholarships that year on that team.
There was a lot of talent. And really, that team, what I remember most about them, and this is a great episode I'm going to talk about in a future, that team really had
charisma. We had spunk. I remember it all started, I think that was one of the last years we also all used to sing that Gucci where we used to walk, the locker room,
that's very
man,
true.
There's
Max.
So much
that's
tradition that's just been lost through Warren football ever since the end of my junior year with Coach Tutsi leaving, that was like a devastation, you know. Coach West is a good man, great coach, all that. But I just, Coach Touchy, he was my coach since I was in fourth grade. Well, that was the man of Warren football. When I think Warren football, that's what I think of.
Well, now that's definitely true. A lot of people definitely say that. And I said to him a couple weeks ago, he definitely helped shape and mold what is now, what Warren football is today.
The empire.
Yes, without him coming over to the program, we aren't having the conversation that we're having right now.
Yeah.
So that 2012 season, it was a lot of up and downs. It was a lot of up and downs. And when we come into the game against Carmel, at Carmel, first round of sectionals, we were 4-5, the first losing season we had in over a decade. And I remember I never truly felt like with that team, with that year, there wasn't an opponent that we could not beat. But unfortunately, we had a lot of close games and had a lot of games go the opposite way on us. But coming into the Carmel game, I just knew we could go out there and really get them and get revenge and get payback for the previous year. And I remember we started off the game down 14-0.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And we had to really battle our way back. And thanks to your efforts as a kicker, we tied the game 14-14 and go into overtime. And I think we scored a touchdown.
They scored a touchdown.
Yeah, they scored a touchdown first. Then we scored a touchdown. Of course, you had to get the extra point. But then I remember in the second overtime period,
I actually kicked, I think, two or three field goals to continue overtime, do or die. If I missed, we're done, okay? Because they scored a field goal. If I missed, we're done. And I think that happened like two or three times.
And then it came down to it. You're back on the field for a defensive stand at their place. And, like, I remember when we ended up getting the stop, how exhilarating that felt.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's jumping up and down. Just, I can't even describe that feeling. God, Carmel just is a lot of history with Carmel, just from, I don't even know. There's just so many games in my head, so many memories in my head that I kind of getting all mixed up and blurred, but I've been through the Carmel rivalry since.
Yes.
You know, I personally feel like me, McKelty Williams, and Cottrell Moss were kind of the last, like, I guess, football players that grew up from playing, you know, little league football in Warren Central all the way to the blood belts. I mean, the real blood belts that we got to wear around during the game.
Yes, I remember. I got a great picture of you guys. And let me skip that, or before I get to that picture I have of you guys, let's go on to your senior year, okay? Mm-hmm. Your senior year, we go to Carmel. And this is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen from any player in Warren history before. First of all, you're still the kicker, the main kicker, but you're playing all over the field now as a star defensive player, all right? And I think, did you play a little offense that year as well?
In the state game, I played offense, defense, and kicker.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, wait on offense with my shoe tied up. If they scored, run out for an extra point, go to kickoff, try to get my shoe on before the first defensive play. If not, I'm right in there on the defensive play.
See, now, you're also, if people did not know this, you are also a state qualifier in wrestling, correct?
Yes, I placed third in state wrestling. Fortunately, that was the only year I kind of was able to wrestle the whole season without breaking a leg or getting nerve damage.
That's right.
Or
I do remember you hurting your leg. Did wrestling really help you with your conditioning to be able to play so much during the game like that?
Not even just the conditioning part, but just the physicality of using your hands as a D lineman, you know, or a linebacker, just a defensive player in general, because you're always hand fighting in wrestling, always just it's you and him, mano y mano, you know, who can outmove who. And if you get good at those push pulls from wrestling, you get good at hand control, hand fighting, getting your hands up in their pads before they can get you, you know, I feel like some of the greatest football players were wrestlers. Look at Ray Lewis.
Exactly. You know, it's a lot of times people say not every great. It's really tough. Some people can't be great in both, but you definitely excel at being great at both. Now, back to the first game against Carmel. All right, you scored, I believe, three field. You kicked three field goals, and you had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Which
yeah.
I believe.
And I scored more points on the board as a special team slash kicker member than the whole offense did that game.
Well, I think you scored every point in the game. I think you're the only person I've ever seen literally score every single point
the team scored.
Yeah, because I think when we scored the touchdown, we kicked the PAT.
Yeah,
and you kicked it.
I kicked it.
That's 7 points right there after the touchdown.
Plus three field goals.
So it's 9 points. So 16 points right there.
Yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. I don't know if anybody will ever top that.
At least, man, at Warren,
unless you're scoring two or three pick sixes a game or something like that, that's the only time I could possibly see that happening. Like,
God, man, you really boosted my ego, kid.
Well, you know what, Max? I want to bring facts to the show.
Yeah, that's what I want to bring.
I want to bring facts to the show. If anybody says, you know, that's not correct, hold on. If something's not correct and I said it, I'm going to come out and correct myself. But that is right there a true statement.
Like, I remember that.
That's like some old, like, 1950s, 1940s type stuff where everybody played, like, everything and, you know, where the kicker was also the quarterback and stuff like that. You know what
I mean?
I mean,
the state game was tough because the state game, they had me playing offensive lineman the whole second half. I play, and then on top of being a defensive end and a kicker the whole game. So I remember there's this picture of me in the paper laying on the ground with my hands over my face, and the caption was, "Max Hernandez feeling emotional after the game," which was not true at all. I was just so worn out. I just had to lay down and take a breather, man. God, that was crazy.
You know what? Well, you had another great game. The last game of your high school career, you win a state championship. I mean, that's what everybody wants to go out on top. And you went out on top against a team that had gotten the best of you at times the last 2 years.
Yes, they did. They beat us both years. We get nail biters those last few games.
And that was part of the run where, really going back to 2009, really, where it was the two best teams in the conference were Warren and Carmel, or the two best teams in the whole state of 5A or 6A was Warren and Carmel as well. And that's really what this week's game is going to come down to, is the MIC championship. Carmel's only lost one. They beat us. They tie us, and they get a share of it. We don't want that.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
No, we want that title coming back to the
East
Side, baby.
We want that title coming back over here, you know.
Yes,
yes. Yes, I feel that feeling after winning the state championship, especially against Carmel. And I think one of the other biggest memories I'm always going to keep with me is my last four downs of football for Warren Central football. I got two sacks.
Okay.
For the third down and the fourth down, back-to-back. And I think I got him on the 1 yard line. I damn near had a safety my last two reps of my high school career, which made me so sad, and I miss it so much. And I advise every single one of you out there still playing ball, still strap up the pads, to just don't take it for granted, because once it's over, it's over, and you don't realize it until it's over.
And you know what? I spoke with this to Posley last week, even after, you know, he went on to college. And, you know, the atmosphere that we have at Warren is just so unique. You don't have that any other place you go. And he played in some big colleges and NFL stadiums. He said it's not the same. Zach Gantner said the same thing to me last week at the Marion St. Francis game when I spoke with him. A lot of guys go on, and you just see the atmosphere that you have being a Warren Central football player, and the camaraderie and the stuff that you experience, it just does not, it's not replicated at any other level.
I mean, I think the only level it is replicated at is those big, like, SEC schools.
Yes.
Things like that. Like, I went on, I had a scholarship to go play ball at West Point, but then I messed up my knee in wrestling. So I went to a Wabash to go get a scholarship. They were offering me, you know. I didn't really like it. Didn't want to go there, but chance to play ball, you know, money on my education. So I went, and when I say it was nothing at all like Warren Central, I'm getting kicked out of practice for being too physical. I'm getting kicked out of practice for just going 100 miles an hour, flying around, hitting people, not caring about a whistle. Because you know how we are at Warren football. The whistle blows, the runner back's still trying to run. defense is still trying to crack you.
You know, our practices were just those practices where somebody, it was almost like pay-per-view almost, really. You could sell tickets and boxes of popcorn and come down, and people would fill the stands just to watch us, go out there and attack each other on both sides of the ball. And really, the best part of those years was watching one-on-one pass rush.
Yeah.
I would love going down there with the camera. And Coach Clark would always have me film you guys going up against the offensive linemen. Man, you guys really got after our best guys. And you know
what? We would get in there ASS.
Well, you know what? Iron sharpens iron, one of our lethal weapons. You know, if you want to get better and you want to compete, you got to compete hard against each other. The best got to go up against the best.
Fast and physical, just like Tutsi. Fast and physical.
Yes.
I remember that.
Absolutely.
Yes, there's so many memories I go with Warren, and I miss it to this day. Just not as much as the classroom, but just the athletics at Warren. There's really no other place like it. And
absolutely,
everybody I've talked to, like you said, who went off to college and said this, Warren was way more challenging. Warren had way better competition.
Mm-hmm.
I really do truly feel like, and multiple people have said this, that some of the best and most talented people in the nation come from the east side of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Think about all the people who went on for the NFL, NBA, just track, everything. Well,
it's so much talent on our side of town and in the city, period. I think the last 10 years it's finally really truly being seen on a national scale. It was oftentimes overlooked. I think at times it's still overlooked because a lot of our great players, like David Bell right now, by some ESPN publications, 247 Sports, they rank him as like the 20th to 32nd best wide receiver in the nation. If you watch his last four or five games, he's definitely not there's not 20 wide receivers in the country better than that man. I refuse. And once they finally give us our due and actually say, okay, well, this guy is doing this against this top level talent, I think he really needs to be ranked higher. Then I think that's when players that come after him will finally get the due that they deserve.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, man, because it's just, honestly, for me, it's not even just football. It's not even just basketball. Like, it's all sports, I feel like, at Warren. I mean, no offense outside of, like, baseball team, you know, but we have a lot of athletes. Like my brother-in-law Brandon Wright, he's on the national level, made the national team last year, third place in the U.S. Open in 2017, place this year. So he's on a world stage, and he's coming from east side of Indianapolis, two-time state championship, went to Warren Central. So if you want to get to college and get college paid for through athletics, Warren Central is the place to be. Well, especially from when I was there, from, you know, Coach Tutsi.
They're still putting out a lot of great talent. I'm working with a lot of these guys. I'm always telling guys, hey, make sure you get that. Make sure you get that highlight tape updated. Make sure you get that, because college coaches are coming around now. They want to see it. They want to see what you're doing. Make sure you're taking care of business in the classroom, because they also want to see what you're doing right there.
Yes, the classroom is one of the biggest things, because I know a lot of talented people, and they had offers, and they were going until they applied, and they didn't have the grades. So they got to go to a JUCO or got to go to some community college, get their stuff up. And then it's like, by that time, is football really worth it? Because you're going to be a grown man here soon enough, and you got responsibilities. So is
absolutely
chasing a dream of football really worth it to just go to a community college just for ball? Go to college for the education. But if you can get paid for the education, do it. And if you can get paid through that, through your grades, the grades is one of the best ways to do it outside of football.
That's a great message right there.
Football ends. Football ends, I'll tell you that. And I know some people my age still chasing football dreams. And, you know, it's not want to knock anybody, you know, keep doing your thing. But realistically, there's less than 1% of people who make it to the NFL. So have a backup plan.
Absolutely.
You know, go to college. Get higher education. Go to a trade school. But my biggest advice is just to enjoy it while it lasts. And just keep on keeping on and bring home a state championship back to the east side where it belongs.
I love it. I love it.
I think one of my quotes in the state game was, when they see this W on our chest, they should fear us. And that's how it was in our 2014 championship. So that's what I want you guys to bring back. I want them to see the W on our chest, on our helmets, and they want to fear us. They don't want to play us. Mm-hmm. We're too physical. We're smash mouth football. Off the whistle, our D-liner in the offensive line, you know, on them. Our linebackers aren't getting touched. They're easy to flow to the ball, back up, read, you know. Just all key points that you can really make. And I hope to make it back to Warren here soon and maybe help out with the program when I get a little more free time. And
hey, Max, you know, whenever you are able to come back, either if it's football or wrestling, I'm sure Coach Tante would love to have you help his program out as well. They'll definitely welcome you back with open arms, man. A talent like you, even if you just come to the team and talk to them for however long you can, like, your knowledge, your experience is definitely well accepted and would definitely be welcome with open arms, man. You just bring so much. You brought so much to the program. I want to thank you personally for doing that, for being this exceptional player, not just in football but in wrestling as well. And you carry yourself well. You took care of things in a classroom. I mean, you got accepted to Wabash. And if, for those that don't know, Wabash, ain't some place you just walk into without having the necessary grades to back you up there. So I appreciate everything you did, Max. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule and today to really talk with me about this. Congratulations to you as well on becoming a father. Very happy and proud of you, seeing the things that you're doing right now. And like I said, once again, thank you. I appreciate everything.
Well, thank you, kid. It's a pleasure having this conversation with you. And I'd love to get back to Warren someday, and you will see me there. But as you know, daddy duty calls, so gotta get back to the family.
Absolutely. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, legendary Warrior legend Max Hernandez.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. I want to thank Max for the time he gave me for that interview. Great interview. You know, I rarely get to see a lot of great players like him. But seeing him against the Ben Davis, when he came to the Ben Davis game, it really brought a lot of cheer to me. I lit up like a kid on Christmas, man, because I love Max. The energy he brought when just being around him was just fantastic. So I want to thank him for taking the time to sit down with me for that interview. Now, one last thing, I want to talk about some of our guys that have been excelling at the next level, excelling at college football and doing great things over there. All right. We got a lot of guys doing great things right now, folks. If you have not been following Warren Central football, let it be known that we continuously put out great players to the next level. All right. And one of those players, all right, he doesn't make a lot of stats that you see. You know, you're not going to see his name all in the newspapers and stuff like that. But Dwayne Trotter Brown, I talked about him a couple weeks ago. He offensive lineman for Bethune-Cookman and HBCU down in Florida, is a key cog of their offense, key cog of their team. Really, is one of their team leaders. And he played here at home against Howard a couple weeks ago in a tough game that they lost, but they were able to bounce back. And last week, he was crucial in their victory against Savannah State. They helped roll up, I think it was over 250 yards of rushing offense and over 450 yards of total offense. And that's helped them really get back on track right now. So four games in, they're doing really good. They're pushing themselves. They're going to compete to win the MEAC. I tell you right there, they're going to be a tough team this season. So be on the lookout for him. My man, Catrell Moss. You know, Indiana State has had a few great players from Warren, Shakir Bells. We had George Cheeseboro down there. But right now, Catrell Moss has been the next great Warren Central player to play at Indiana State. And so far through, four or five games, he has 37 tackles. That's incredible. 37 tackles so far. The man is just a machine down there. One of the defensive leaders. And like I said, I look forward to seeing him play next week during ISU's homecoming. So, Cottrell, if you're listening, man, keep playing well. Keep playing well. I'm watching you, baby. All right, another player. I was so wrong on him a couple weeks ago. I did not think he was going to be a contributor, like he has been so far. I thought he was going to get redshirted, but apparently, you know, some things have worked out in his favor. So, Julius Brents, I want to go ahead and apologize to you, all right? I'm glad to see you doing great things out there for Iowa. I sat there and watched a little bit of your game a couple weeks ago against Wisconsin. Hey, continue to improve. Continue to do better. I know you're going to step up big time this week in your next, in you guys' game. Hey, I'm rooting for you. I'm cheering for you, man. Hopefully the next time you're in town, I'm able to see you and talk to you for the show. Hey, continue to do great things, man. When your number's called up, you'll be ready. I know. I know you will be. Moving on. All right. Also, another great player who is also a senior, McKelty Williams. McKelty has been doing this great things for NIU. They're a little, you know, going through some things right now, but he has been a key contributing member of their defense. So far, he has 36 tackles on the season. And this past week, he was named the MAC defensive. He was named to the MAC defensive team of the week. So I guess that's a little way they do things differently in the MAC, where you just don't pick one defensive player. They pick a whole defense from D linemen, linebackers, and secondary players. And he was one of those lucky ones to be picked. So congratulations to you, McKelty. Continue to do well. I don't know if I'll be able to make it up to a game for you, but you know, maybe some things will work out in my favor there. Let's see here. Like I said, we got a lot of great players at the next level. One of my favorites, I talked about this guy a couple weeks ago, Trey Moore. I could talk about Trey a lot on this show, truthfully. He's just been a big-time player. He had another pick a couple weeks ago, and he's just been playing phenomenal football. His coach was in the building last week and talked to me. I was like, hey, you guys got a special one in Trey. He's like, yeah, we definitely do. We need to get another guy down there like that, down to Eastern from you guys. Like, hey, you guys keep coming in here recruiting our guys now. I'm going to try to get you another one now. But Trey Moore is a special individual. 22 tackles so far in the season. He also has a sack. Continue to do well, Trey. Hey, I'm cheering for you, man. Hopefully I can get down to a game to see you guys play as well. Looking at the schedule here, it's going to be tough. But we'll make something happen. We'll make something shake. See here, moving on. All right. Oh, the guy that's like my brother to me, Michael Tutsi, okay? He's playing for the defending national champion, North Dakota State Bison. And he just, as a redshirt freshman, he's been a key contributor already. He plays on all their special teams, was special teams captain to start the season. And this week, they had their rivalry game against South Dakota. And last year, they lost the game. But this year, you know, they were determined to make sure that they win the Dakota marker, which is their trophy that they have between the two schools. And Michael, on a punt, was able to come down and pin the South Dakota player. I think he pinned him in like the five. It was either the 2 yard line or the 5 yard line. That's a huge play for him. A huge play for the team. The team ended up getting a big stop that really sealed the game, sealed the victory for them. So congratulations to Michael. You know, he's a hard working player. His father wouldn't have it any way, man. He's Tutsi trained through and through. So, you know, he's doing big things for them out there. And lastly, but not least, we had a huge matchup between two schools that have had a lot of our great players over the last about 5-6 years. It was the annual Franciscan rivalry game between Marion University Knights and the St. Francis Cougars. And St. Francis had been on a 27-game winning streak. They were the defending 2-time national champions, had not lost a game since 2016 when Marion went up there then and beat them when they were defending champions. And Tristan Tonte really got the offense going in this game. He got the first touchdown, which helped helped Marion get into the game. I think they were down 14-0 at the time, and they ended up coming out and winning 37-28. But, you know, Tristan has been a great guy, a great player for them over the years, over the last two seasons, I should say. He's been doing really well. And also for St. Francis, St. Francis has Wilmer Cole, and Wilmer has just been playing absolutely fantastic so far this season. He's been, the conference defensive player of the week, maybe once or twice. I think he has two pick sixes on the season so far. Even in this game, I couldn't believe it myself, but he was all over the place, flying all over, making plays, you know, helping his team, trying to help his team, you know, continue their winning streak and get the victory in this huge rivalry game. He ended up with 10 total tackles himself. Just outstanding, man. Just outstanding. And I was able to speak to him. I know he was a little upset after the game, but you know what? Wilmer, man, you're playing very, very well for your team, right? You're playing very, very well. Keep working hard at your craft. And you know what? If you guys have a great team on your hands right there, okay? So don't get down on yourself. Work hard, all right? Because you know those guys at Marion are going to work hard as well. So I think the real national championship game is going to be played in the playoffs again against U2 schools. So, hey, continue to work hard, and I'll definitely look forward to seeing you again and having you come on the show so we can talk about your career. All right, so let's see. I think that's really it, ladies and gentlemen. They got a huge game against Carmel this week. I've already made the announcement, folks. If you haven't seen on the official YouTube page, on Facebook, on Twitter, if you are a Warren alumni, and I made this announcement last week, a Warren football alumni, excuse me, and you plan on being at the game, email me at truewarriorfb@gmail.com or reach out to me on Twitter, reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram, however way you can reach out to me, okay? The deadline is Thursday at 7 p.m., all right? I got to get a list to Athletic Director Clayton of the names of players, former coaches, anybody that has had ties to the program that plans on being at the game to be on the field. All right, we got a special section already for you guys. Hey, we're going to take care of you guys. There was a little bit of confusion against Ben Davis. We're clearing that up. We're going to take care of our own. All right, I want to see as many Warrior Legends I get so excited sometimes when I talk about people coming back. I just love to see guys that have made the program so special come back and see the legacies that they laid being continued and carried on by these young guys right now. I just love it. I love it. So once again, contact me as soon as you can. Deadline is Thursday at 7 p.m., folks. All right. I'm sorry, don't contact me on Friday. Don't contact me, 2 hours before the game. Don't call me. Hey, guys, I'm sorry. I got to follow rules here. All right? So, once again, reach out to me, folks. And I believe that is all. So, that means here, Warrior Band, take us away.